I want you to get your Bibles here this morning. Stand with me as we open the pages of God's infallible, inerrant, eternal, plenary, verbally inspired, living Word of the living God. If a man preaches from anything else, he's preaching presumption. I'd like to have a prayer request for you. It said, Karen Brandfast has a spot on her lung. She also has a cough. She's having a scan Monday morning. She asks that you and everyone pray for her. Please pray for Karen Brandfast. Ask the Almighty to touch her. God can heal her. Please pray for Karen Brandfast. If you turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 30 this morning, please. And verse number 22. Genesis chapter number 30 and verse 22. The Hebrew word for this is Bereshit. It means in the beginning. It's the beginning, the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter number 30, verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. Thus giving a prophecy that one day, as she called him, Benoni would show up. But Jacob would have no part of it. And he called him Benjamin, or Benjamin, which is son of my right hand. Father, in thy name we pray. Give me unction to preach what you've laid upon my heart now. In Jesus' name we ask it. And amen. You can be seated. Joseph. There's a lot of people in these 66 books of the Bible. A lot of people. It talks about people that mentions only one time. Others, you wish it had mentioned them only one time. People from Genesis through Revelation, some remarkable, some ordinary, some great sinners, some fall into sin, some walk into it, some embrace it. Some rise head and shoulders above others. Some are gifted of God. Some God uses in marvelous ways, as we talked about Moses in Sunday school this morning. There's only one Moses, never be another one.
Right.
Only one. And there's only one Joseph. Yeah. Never be another one. Just one. There's not another person in the whole Bible like him except the Lord Jesus Christ. When Rachel had her firstborn, she called him Joseph. She only had one other son, and she called him Benoni. So Joseph is, in Hebrew, it means to add to. It means that God is going to add. And she didn't understand, probably, when she named this boy, at how many times God would add to Israel because of the birth of Joseph. Joseph is a gift from God, a blessing from above, a light into a dark place. Joseph is a remarkable young man, stands out from all the rest of his brethren, and they hated him for it. They despise him because he was different. The world wants you to conform. It wants you to walk the way they walk. It wants you to talk the way they talk. It wants you to look like they look. And that's why most people conform. Oh, you say you're an individual, but you look just like all the rest of the crowd you run with. You listen to the same music they listen to. You talk like they talk, yet you claim to be an individual. There are truly very few real individuals, people who stand out. Joseph was one. He was rejected by his brethren. He was loved by his father, and he was loved by his mother. And his name means that God will add to. He did. He added the prophecy. She gave the prophecy. He added, gave her another son. For Israel, God added a deliverer. He gave them one. While they were carried, before they were carried off into Egyptian in bondage, he for the world God added a savior, and Pharaoh called him Zaphnath-Paaneah, and then for all time God added a prophet and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in Joseph. For Israel as a nation, God added two more tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, and for the sons of Joseph, God added the birthright, which was lost by Reuben, and continues to add to this very day. For the Lord Jesus Christ, that was born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea, had his type in Joseph, One who was an outcast and hated without a cause, separated from his brethren. And yet in spite of all of that, Joseph has a remarkable life that we would do well to study. In Genesis chapter number 37 and verse number 19, it tells you something about the nature of Joseph. In Genesis 37 verse 19 it says, "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh." Joseph was a dreamer. A dreamer, you say, preacher, who has need of a dreamer? Give me a carpenter, give me a bricklayer, a truck driver, a doctor, give me a lawyer. I don't have any use for a dreamer. Oh, yes, you do. Everything that's ever come upon this earth came first into the heart and into the mind of a dreamer. My friend, a dreamer is one that looks beyond what you see with the eyes and looks at what can be and that's better and beyond what you can touch with your hands. A dreamer is one that looks into another world and sees what could be. A dreamer is one who lifts himself head and shoulders above those about him, not because he desires to, but because of what he is. Everything that you've ever used, everything that's in this building, came about because of a dreamer. One man dreamed one time that he could fly, and he did. The Wright brothers lifted off at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, and they flew. One man said, I can talk over a wire, and he did. Alexander Graham Bell created a telephone and spoke. One said, we can harness the power of electricity, and that's what you're using right now. If you took electricity out of your life, you'd be hurting indeed. Amen. And there was one who was caught up into the third heaven and became the great apostle to the Gentiles. What a dreamer he was. This boy had a daddy that was a dreamer. When Jacob left his home, the Bible said there, he laid his head upon a rock, and that night he dreamed. And he saw a ladder that touched into the heavens and came down and touched the earth. And so I'm sure that when Joseph, my friend, began to dream, it didn't bother Jacob too much. Because Jacob was a dreamer too. You mean, like father, like son, and so he passed it down to his boy. And yet Joseph's dreaming went far beyond what his daddy had ever dreamed. God put a heart and a soul in Joseph that was capable of not only dreaming, but bringing dreams to pass. And so here we have a dreamer. He looked at his family and said to his father and his mother and his brethren, one day you'll bow down before me. My, what an arrogant statement for this young man, 17-year-old boy, to tell his daddy and his mama and his 11 brethren that they're going to bow down before him. I can imagine how mad that his brethren got. It just gave them another reason to hate him. But the truth of the matter is, when they came into Egypt, they bowed down before him. For he was the second in the whole known world at that time in power. And exactly as God said to him, God used him. My friend, a dreamer is something else. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ didn't look at what was before him, but he looked at what lay ahead of him. When he went to the tree, he dreamed. He dreamed about where I was and what he would do to save me and lift me out of the hell that I was in. He's a dreamer. If you want to meet somebody that'll raise you up from your mundane world and your monotonous life, latch on to a dreamer one time, and you'll find out what life can be like, how it can add spice to your life and life to your life and move you about. Get a hold of a dreamer. A dreamer's an artist. It's somebody that paints a picture, and he looks beyond what the eyes can see and says, it can be better. And oh yes, it can. In this country, so powerful and great as it is, if we had a man in office that was a true dreamer, that cared only for his people and cared to bring this country back to where it came from. You haven't seen half of what this country could be one day, but you're going to have a dreamer. You're going to have somebody that can look beyond what the eye can see and see the potential. The Bible said when he called me, he separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He loves dreamers. Dreaming is a gift from God. Don't ever stop dreaming. Because that's God's voice in your soul showing you what can be. Oh yes, he was a dreamer. And they took this dreamer and they sold him off into slavery. And the Ishmaelites carried him down to Egypt. And they threw him into a prison and slammed the gate in his face. And now Joseph, that had been given so much by his daddy, a coat of many colors, loved and set aside. The Bible said that Joseph was the son of Jacob's old age. And that's why he loved him so much. I thought to myself, did you know the Bible says that Jesus Christ was one that was who was in the fullness of time. God brought forth His Son, made of a woman made under the law. It was in the fullness of time. If you might say it's God's old age of dealing with men, that He brought forth His Son and gave Him to us so that we could be saved. He's the Son of the love of the Father. The Father loved His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, like Jacob loved his son, Joseph. He had a great love for him because, you see, my friend, this was his bride's son. It was the one that he had laid his eyes upon at the beginning. It wasn't Leah, Bildad, or Zilpah. It was upon Rachel that Jacob had cast his eyes and loved her from day one. And my friend, how his heart must have hurt for her not to have children, because Leah was having one right after another, and now the concubines were having children. But Rachel had no child till God opened her womb, and a little boy came into this world, and his name, she called him Joseph, for God's going to give me another one, she said. And God blessed her, and the curse was removed from her. And so now she could say, I've got a son, a man child, I've got a boy, I've brought him into the world. And what a boy he was. Nothing but a dreamer. He wasn't worth anything except dreaming. He was good with sheep. There's something about sheep that just kind of gathered around him because of his nature, you know. I mean, he had a gentleness about him, though even he was so strong. I mean, he was thrown into Pharaoh's prison, yet he endured Pharaoh's prison where many would have died. There was a strength about Joseph that wasn't so much a physical strength. It was the countenance of Joseph. It was his constitution. It was that he had a life burning inside him that could not be put out by the circumstances around him. Are you following me this morning? An awful lot of people have physical strength, but they got no soul. There's nothing inside here. And the first time it goes against them, they literally crumble under the weight of the load. They have to constantly prove to themselves they're strong enough, big enough, great enough to do what needs to be done. But I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul said. He had that constitution too, like Joseph. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Even though his circumstances changed, the man didn't change, because what was inside him was strong. It was his trust in God, his faith in the Lord. And so even though his brethren hated him and sold him into slavery, he was carried out of his native land, away from his people. He was carried off into a foreign land. He was done wrong, lied against. He was taken and put in prison unjustly, locked away. Yet during all of that time, his faith in God was still strong. He still trusted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Joseph knew he dreamed one day. Joseph knew that God was still with him. He knew that God would answer his prayer. And God answered his prayer indeed. He certainly did. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 50, if you'd like to turn there with me this morning, please. And verse number 20, we find something here about Joseph that we need to understand. In Genesis chapter number 50 and verse 20, we need to understand this, because this is what got Joseph through. Joseph had a feeling in his heart about God. He couldn't understand the circumstances sometimes, couldn't explain them. Sometimes maybe he couldn't even deal with them, because he got a little downhearted while he was in prison, because the baker, the butler, one of them hadn't said a word for him and had promised to do so. But the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 20, this was the overriding principle that kept Joseph going. Notice carefully what he said. He said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God. You see, he said, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. He knew there was a greater mind at work than theirs. He knew there was a purpose greater than theirs. He knew that God Almighty, as great as He was, would allow an individual to choose his road, make his choices, do his thing, and still able to do what He intended to do. That's the best way to put it. He's able to bring to pass what He intends to bring to pass. My friend, when we find Joseph, meeting his brethren. Here, my friend, at the end of the book of Exodus, those that had hated him and those that had mistreated him and those that had done him wrong, when they come before him, he said God meant it to good. He didn't have any hate. He had no revenge. He had no bitterness. He had no self-pity. He said in his heart, God meant it for good. I look about me and I see, my friend, the church has failed in so many things. Religion is nothing but a joke. People aren't being saved like they should be saved. The pulpits in our country are full of men that don't even know the Lord. That's why they don't preach the new birth, and that's why they don't preach repentance. It's because they've never repented themselves and they've never been born again. It's sad when you look at what's happening. But I also know this. I know the world means it for evil, but God means it for good. I know that Satan means it for evil, but God means it for good. I know that sin means it for evil, but God means it for good. It'll make any difference how bad it gets, how dark it gets, how horrible the situation. God can bring good out of it. He's the only one that, my friend, can. He can bring order out of chaos. Yeah, he can. He can bring order out of chaos. A chaotic life, wasted, ruined. He can bring order out of it. The Knoxville Police Department just recently, in the last 24 hours, 48 hours or whatever, has busted 7 prostitutes off of the streets of Knoxville. Now that's, I'm sure, that's only a small percentage of what's out there. But I looked at this thing on the internet, and I looked at these women as they marched them before the camera, as they put their name on the screen, they put their name in their age. Every last one of them broke my heart. I'm telling you that I felt a sadness in my soul for these women. I said to myself, my goodness, look at a wasted life. Now the law takes them, the law arraigns them, the law convicts them, the law puts them in jail or fines. The law can't do anything to help them. Oh, they're breaking the law, so the law takes them off the street, okay. So they're off the street. But when the law gets done with them, then they're back on the street again. One woman said she'd been arrested, been locked up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, whatever. In the career of a prostitute, they can go to jail time and time and time again. You say, well, now, preacher, what can you do for them? You can't do anything for them. You can't do a thing for them, but you can pray for them. You see, my friend, this is a good example. They mean it for evil. The world may have handed up a bitter pill. Maybe they were molested as children. Who knows? Maybe they had a husband that kicked them out into the street. Maybe some low-down scumbag got them hooked on dope. And he's pimping them out so he can sell them to buy more dope. I mean, the scenario can go on and on and on and on and on. And yet in every case, they are sad, sad, sad. Sad, sad, selling themselves day in and day out. They're not alive. They're not alive. There's no life in these women. They're just existing. They have become slaves to sin. It has literally bound up their soul. And the day will come, if it hasn't already with some of them, that the soul will die. When their soul dies, it means that there's no more feeling, no more emotion. No response to the truth or to the light. When the soul dies, the mouth can speak and the mind can function. But the individual is literally, according to the scriptures, their conscience is seared with a hot iron. The soul has died. You can never get them to repent. You can't get them right with God. You can't do anything to help them. The soul has died. And my friend, that happens to people. That's one of the great warnings that I give you this morning, and that is that your soul, if you're unsaved, can die. Repentance is a wondrous thing. Oh, it's a marvelous thing. If these women could understand by the Word of God and by somebody that loved them and by the preaching of the Scriptures and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that God Almighty would forgive them for what they're doing. But first of all, they have to understand that they are sinning against God and not men. And conviction comes into the heart and into the soul. And conviction takes hold of the individual. And conviction says, you're lost. You're condemned to hell. You got no hope. But Jesus died for you. Conviction gives no other alternative, no way out. Conviction makes no excuses for the situation they're in. Conviction doesn't reason and bargain with them. Conviction says, as the Apostle John said, when the Holy Spirit is coming to the world, He'll convince men of sin because they believe not on Me. Churches spend all their time cleaning up people, whitewashing sepulchers, when the real problem is the human heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. Try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Conviction is wonderful because conviction opens the floodgates of mercy. Conviction prepares the soul to receive the grace of God. Conviction says to the guilty sinner, guilty, condemned, and going to hell. But it doesn't stop that way. The Holy Spirit never convicts unless He intends to convert. When He convicts, He's ready to convert. You say, preacher, you know good and well that a woman that's a prostitute that lives on the street, sells her bodies, and most of them are drug addicts. How in the world could God forgive somebody like that? Well, you say, preacher, what have you got, a cheap religion? Why, your grace must be awful cheap to think that God would soil His hands with someone like that. No, you're dead wrong. That's what this is about. Because some of you young girls in here right now, you may think that I'm crazy, and you may think that I'm as dumb as I can be, but I'm going to tell you right now, some of those girls may have sat in church one day. And some of you girls in here right now could be where they are in 10 years, on the street selling yourself. You say, I'd never do that, preacher. Let that man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The dreamer. I'd like for the dreamer to talk to these prostitutes. I'd like for the dreamer to come up to them and say, you don't have to sell yourself anymore. I'd like for the dreamer to come up to their heart and say, I shed My blood for every one of your sins. And I'd like for the dreamer to take hold of them in their heart when they've given up all hope and been used and thrown down like a dead dog. I'd like for the dreamer to say to them, and I love you just exactly the way you are. And I'll save you and change you and take you out of this hell you're living in. To one of them it said, the police officer said to her, why do you do this? She said, I don't know. And you know the truth? You know, she's probably telling the truth. She doesn't know. You know why? Because the soul has started to die and the bonds of sin has taken hold and the light is just ebbing away. The humanity of who she is dying, and now she's a slave to sin. And friend, when you become a slave to sin, some of you know what I'm talking about. If you're a drug addict, it's not easy to break drugs. If you're a fornicator, it's not easy to quit fornicating. If you're a thief, it's not easy to stop stealing. Whatever you are, it's not easy to... You can't do it. The power's not in you to do it. But He's able to bring order out of chaos. Amen. The whole world and the whole universe and everything there was. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, it was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. It made no sense. It had no direction. It had no bounds. It was nothing but disorder and chaos. And His Word, glory to God, went forth. And He said, let there be. Amen. 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 He can bring light out of darkness. He can. Stumbling around, trying to find your way. Trying every self-help program you can get into. Trying this religion and that religion. Trying to live by your spirituality. It's been pumped into you for the last 20 years about how spiritual you are. My friend, listen to me. The only spirit that matters is the spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And the spirit of an unsaved man's a dead spirit. And if you've never been born again, you have no spirituality. There's no spirit about you. But He's able to bring light out of darkness. He's able to put a ray of light where there's nothing but darkness. He's able to speak into an unconverted soul. He's able to speak into the situation condition that you're living in right now. The dreamer that went to the cross. Oh, how he dreamed. What visions he must have had. How it must have been while he was for 6 hours on that tree. Every last one of us to be born again. Our face flashed before his eyes. Yes! Where we came from and where we're going is why he went to the tree. My face flashed before his eyes. And the word communicated to me was simply this. I love you and I'm dying for you. He's able to bring light out of darkness. Darkness does not produce light. Darkness tries to cover up light. Darkness cannot comprehend the light. But he can bring it into your soul. He's able to bring salvation to the lost. That's the unsaved. You know the hardest people in this town to reach? It's the people that are in church right now. On Sunday morning. And they've never been born again. Never been born again. I'd say that if I went to some of those prostitutes and asked them who some of their clients were, they could tell me about deacons and preachers and Sunday school teachers in this town that they see frequently. And I'm sure that every time that happens, they say to themselves, if there's anything in what they got, I don't want it. I don't want what they got. About 25 years ago, they did a bust here in Knoxville on prostitutes, and they found a bishop with a prostitute who died. He got killed somehow or another. He died. And he was a bishop in the Roman Catholic Church in Kansas City, Missouri. And a few days later, it showed them having a high mass for him. And thousands of people were in that auditorium. Literally thousands and thousands of people. Nobody here knew him, but in Kansas City they knew him. And he died with a prostitute in Knoxville, Tennessee. At same time, just within a few weeks of that, some pastor of some church paid a prostitute with a check for services rendered. You talk about a fool. He's a fool twice. He's a fool, number one, for going to the prostitute. He's a fool for paying with a check. All she had to do was take the check and hand it to the law, and all they got to do is trace it, and he got caught. Because how would we know it? He got caught. That's the problem. The church is so full of hypocrisy and religion and dead, dying, decaying religion. The kind that stinks to high heaven. So full of it. Oh, to God that we'd have revival. That we'd be convicted for what's wrong. Get on our faces and cry out to God. He can bring salvation to the lost and finally can bring good out of bad or evil. He can. That's what Joseph said. He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. I'm glad for that. I sit back here in this office and I talk to young girls, young boys. And they tell me about their grandfather or an uncle or somebody in the family that molested them for 5 or 10 or 15 years. All the time they were children, growing up. I've sat back there time and time and time again listening to that kind of testimony. It hadn't been any more than 2 or 3 weeks ago. I sat back there and listened to a young woman pour her soul out. And she's not anybody that connected with this church, though they're church members now. They came in here and she was molested all the time of her childhood. Molested. Sexually molested. My friends, my goodness, why don't we preach in here and why don't we teach in here and why don't we pray in here to make it so uncomfortable? If you're a child molester, either get right or get out. It's hard to put a life together again. It's hard to explain to them why such and such did such and such. So and so. That's hard. But He'll bring good out of evil. I've seen Him put lives together. I've seen Him put hope in the soul. I've seen Him heal the brokenhearted. I've seen joy come on the face. I've seen peace and power in the heart. I've seen it. Some of you have a horrible childhood. Well, you belong to the same company I belong to. Horrible childhood. Things happen to you you'd never tell anybody for the rest of your life. But I'm so glad that when God saves you, He takes you, make you feel like you're dirt. You feel like you're no good. You feel terrible for what's been done to you. But then when God saves you, He brings good out of the bad. I know what's going on. I know where I came from. I know what He did for me. Don't mess with me. Don't hand me a bunch of highbrow religious talk. I know what God can do. I know. I've been there. I know. He can bring good out of bad. Evil. I grew up like that. Some of you will never hear what happened to me sometimes I was a boy. You'll never hear it. I won't tell you. Only God knows. But I know one thing. God turned evil into good. Laid His hand on my life in 1973. For the first time in my existence, I felt somebody bigger than me that loved me regardless of what had happened to me, regardless of what I'd ever done, regardless of who I was. No strings attached. He loved me. He loved me. Hallelujah to God. Man, when they got a hold of me, that did something for my soul. Oh, it did something for my soul. You've been a victim, I've been a victim. Yes, sir. You came from a dark place, I came from a dark place. Yes, brother. And I know what He can do for you. He's able to take evil, turn it to good. Hallelujah. Anymore, we watch a lot of homes get broken. Children thrown up in the air and become victims. That's why I've got such a heart for kids. I love children. I love these little children. That's just my nature. I love children. I guess because of the way I grew up. They're vulnerable. They don't know. You can mess them up or you can help them. I love the little children. Maybe that's the Spirit of Christ in you when He said, suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto Me. I think He loved them too. He loved the little children. As long as I'm pastor here, I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to preach the Bible to you. I had a man one time about 30 years ago. I'll never forget him. He opened up and started telling me what all happened to him when he was a boy. And he trembled. I'll never forget that. That stuck with me the rest of my life. He trembled. He busted out into tears. He trembled and he cried. I got up and put my arm around him. I said, do you know something? Jesus died for you too. And whatever happened to you, God's going to turn it and make it good. He's going to take the evil and overrule it. In other words, like this, whatever curse the evil puts on your life, in your soul, in your mind, whatever it can do to you, He can overrule it. He can take it away. He's greater than anything that can happen to you. Amen. Amen. And you'll know it when you meet Him. And the only reason that you ever hear of it from me is because I tell you. He won't. He never brings it back up again. That's why I know who I'm dealing with. Never. Never. He never brings it up again. Cast as far as the east is from the west. He's able to bring good out of evil. Well, you don't know what's happened to me, preacher. I don't have to know. I'm not the one that does the changing. Remember something, I'm just the spokesman. I'm just a preacher, it's all I am. If you told me every sordid detail of everything that's ever happened to you, I can't change any of it. You don't have to tell me. You don't need to, I'm just a man. But whatever's on your soul, if you want to empty your soul, if you want to pour out your soul from the depths of your soul, you come before Him that is from everlasting to everlasting. That's able to take every last one of them, piecemeal one at a time, and take them away and never bring them back again. And take all that burden out of your heart, and take all that bitterness out of your soul. Take all those stars out of your life. He's able to take every last one of them, and then He pours in grace. He pours in oil. He pours the Holy Ghost in place. He puts power and joy where there was hatred. He fills you with the power of God. He does that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this to you, and I'm done. I don't care who you are, where you came from. I don't care if you're red, yellow, black, white, pink, orange, or green. Christ died on the cross for you. And He will take your burdens, casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Hallelujah to God for that. He said, come unto me and learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. That's what He said. Is that right, Brother Padgett? He said, come. I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Don't come up here and pour your soul out to a man. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't even do it to me. When you come up here, you pour your soul out to God. And He that heareth you can forgive you, cleanse you, restore you, heal you, save you, deliver you, whatever you need. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for Joseph. Thank You for the dreamer. Thank You for dreamers, Lord. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for that one that can see beyond the natural eye and see further than we can even think, the dreamer. Thank You. Now, Heavenly Father, somebody in here this morning, Lord, they're hurt. They hurt. God, move on that soul. Draw them to Calvary. Oh, bless Calvary. Bless the place. Bless the sacred ground around the cross. Sacred, sacred, sacred indeed. Bless Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen. Let's stand up and sing, brother.